and the least understood book in the Bible. We pick up today by reading chapter 7, verse 1 and following. Revelation 7, 1 goes this way. After this, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of earth, holding back the four winds of the earth to prevent any wind from blowing on the land, on the sea, or any tree. Then I saw another angel coming up from the east, having a seal of the living God. Lord, we ask you to give us all the information we need about these great prophetic verses, that our hearts may be filled with anticipation and our minds be calm from anxiety. We know that you have the future in our hands, Lord. We've mentioned very many names in our prayer list today. I pray for your blessing and your goodwill to be upon all of them and give them strength, both the person that's ill and recovering and also their caregivers. I pray for our country, Father. The papers, the news have been so filled with horrible and tragic things that are going on. We know these are the birth pains that are promised to us. Let us be able to be vigilant in serving you during this time and not give up. Bless each one that's here, their families. Bless our state, our community, and our nation. Righteous and wise leaders may be selected to guide us. Be with us as we learn this day. Be with the preacher. I pray in his name, Jesus. Amen. It starts off with a little bit of a quiz as we look into the first verse. It says, after this, I saw four angels standing at the four corners. After this means chapter 6 of the book of Revelation, in which the scroll with seven seals were on it, talking about the future. No one in heaven or earth could open those seals until the Lamb, meaning Jesus, would come. In those seven seals, it speaks of some horrible things that are going to happen here on earth. God knows what his plan is. We can ask him to put it off. We can ask him to make it hurry up. But we can't ask him to change it because he's got his plan made. So therefore, in a time of surrender, we need to say, Lord, what would you have me to do? And what are you going to do with me? In the last of those, actually the sixth of the seven seals, he said the earth will just rumble. Earthquakes and all kind of diverse things. So much that the powerful actually run and hide in caves. And ask the Lord that the caves will fall upon them so they may be relieved from all the turmoil and pain that's going on. There John then switches to chapter 7. The last verse of 6 says, for the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand? After this, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth. Well, of course, we know that's north, south, east, and west. What they're about to do is hardly believable to us, but listen to the power that they have. They're holding back from the four winds of the earth to prevent any wind from blowing on the land, on the sea, or any tree. We saw a television show yesterday about a group that actually drove into a tornado. Not intentionally, but where they were going and where the tornado was coming from happened to be the same place. It wasn't good. Many of you all were here during the events of August the 13th, 2004, when Charlie came through. Not only was the wind strong and the rain strong, but then they spurred off all the tornadoes and the damage it did. I can remember seeing, just a few weeks later, a huge monster root ball, for lack of a better term, out on Sanibel. Tree had just been pulled, twisted, and snapped off, and the root ball looked like it was 8 to 12 feet tall. Couldn't outdo the wind and the wrath it came from. Wind's powerful. The lack of wind may be even more powerful. If you read the times of the ancient mariners, even up until the last few decades, what the wind has done to ships. The Atocha was a ship that was coming out of Cuba that had been in South America that was taking a shipload of gold and silver to Spain. The winds came upon it. It was dashed and broken up and Till just a few decades ago, Mel Fisher came along and they pulled out thousands, millions of dollars worth of coinage that just blew up on the bottom when the ship would crash because the wind was too powerful. Some of you have been out in a boat, maybe. Some of you that have been on ships, either in the Navy or, like Skip, served in Merchant Marines. That wind can be tough. I mean, sail, 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 kaboom, kaboom. I mean, it's. I got seasick one time. I still don't get over that. It's just not fun. But, you know, the lack of wind is even worse. In my home state, some of you know where that is. In my home state, we have what's called dog days of August. And the winds just seem to stop. There's no gentle breeze. There's no wind at all. And it's just hotter than hot because nature's been turned around. It's a terrible time. And I tell those back home, I said, you know, it may be 89, 90 or so, but we have a breeze in the afternoon, which really makes things comfortable. It made things comfortable yesterday morning about 9 o'clock when it's 300 degrees in our yard and I was mowing, and Becky and I were mowing. It was hot. And the breeze came on and said, well, thank you, Lord, that's really good. But these angels are stopping the winds. If you've been to the island of the Divi Divi trees, I don't know if you've ever heard of the Aruba, spelt Aruba. These trees grow sideways because the wind is always blowing the same direction. It just blows them over sideways. Wind is strong. Wind is powerful. Wind can help you. Wind can hurt you. These angels stop the wind. Here's what happens when you stop the wind. You stop the weather. Those of you up north have heard the term northeaster. Well, that wind comes through and just brings a bucket load of snow and terrible conditions to you. All these things. I love to watch the weather in the winter to see what I'm missing. Well, the shows are coming out of Alaska and Antarctica and coming down with the great troughs of wind. How it changes. God had them stop the wind. And with that, the weather has just stopped as well. No changes at all. It was a very powerful and dangerous thing. They held back the four winds. The earth was to prevent the earth from blowing on the land or the sea or any tree. He changed nature, changed man's life. Then in verse 2, I saw another angel coming from the east, having the seal of the living God. The seal of God. Do you remember back, I'm going to say in the mid-50s, early 60s, seal-o-matic. You get your leftovers. The commercials are still on. You get your leftovers, you put them in a little plastic bag, you put them down something, you shut it down, and it sucks all the air out, and it runs a hot strip on it. You got your meal in a bag. Some of you can buy those meals in a pouch just now. It's sealed. Air can't get in. Food smell can't get out. It lasts for a while. There's a former politician by the name of Paul, not Ryan Paul, his daddy, Ron Paul, who's selling freeze your own food the last 25 years. And even ice cream. Now, folks, I've hid freezer burned ice cream. I don't know why anybody would keep it for 25 years because it wasn't good at all. But that freeze-dried stuff, the astronauts had all that freeze-dried food. It sealed them up. Air couldn't get to them. Deterioration couldn't get to them. Something sealed can't be tampered with. Well, this angel had the seal of God. Now, remember the line, something sealed can't be tampered with. We're going from there. He called out in a loud voice to the four angels who had been given power to harm the land and sea, do not harm the land or the sea or the trees until we put a seal on their foreheads. Now, we're about to get into the area where we hear about the mark of the beast. But the event that's about to take place now occurred prior to that. The angel who had the seal of God was told to go down and get 12,000 people from the 12 tribes of Israel, 144,000. Seal them on the forehead with the seal of God. Remember we said something that would be sealed cannot be harmed. And these 144,000 people would wait to the judgment day. But they were protected because they were sealed by God. I worked for a fellow years and years and years ago. And we started talking about heaven. We were in a Hardee's restaurant in Johnson City. Over half the employees were either Bible college or seminary students. So there was a lot of religious discussions going on when the hamburgers weren't going across the aisle. And he said, well, I know I'm not going to heaven. Huh? He said, yeah, my scriptures teach that only 144,000 are going to heaven, and I know that I'm not one of them, so I just do the best I can. So several of us were in discussion. We went home, and this is what he was getting that idea from. That has nothing to do with how many's going to heaven. We just read thousands times thousands times thousands were going to heaven. But this is talking about the select Jews only. They were going to be protected. They were sealed. It has nothing to do with the rest of the world or who all were salvation or had salvation. We wouldn't have a choice. The next six verses list out 12,000 of each tribe. It goes through all 12 tribes, which is 144,000. After this, John said, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count. From every nation, every tribe, every people, every language, standing before the throne in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white clothes, white robes, were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Now he's talking about us. Go all the way back with me into the book of Genesis. When God told Abraham, then Isaac and Jacob, your descendants, my children, will be like the sands of the sea or the stars of the sky. In other words, you can lay down at night if you wish to, if the outside lights aren't on, and start counting the stars. You will be asleep before you get to the last one. I really challenge you to do this. Go down to the shore one day. Don't take a 5-gallon bucket. Take a 1-gallon bucket. Take a cup, if you wish. And start individually counting every grain of sand in that one cup. You'll be ready for Social Security Plus by the time you get them all done. It's just, in other words, too many to count. So what John is telling us, that God's number that he has sealed, 144,000 of the Hebrews, of the Jews, but the rest of us, untold numbers. Now, if you look at Revelation, which we will too later, you'll see the size is huge. Like really, really, really big. We said there can't be enough room in heaven for everybody. Oh, I read last 2 weeks ago that you're talking about the world's overpopulated. You could take the entire population of the world, the entire, counting China, you can take the entire population of the world, they would all fit on the big island of Hawaii. Now, I don't know how much room they got, and there probably wouldn't be a lot of lazy boys there, but that's a whole lot of people in one spot. In other words, God has created heaven so big that we can't fill it up. It would be a good place to be. There would be no waiting, no sadness, no sorrow. We'll later see where it says they will wipe every tear from our eyes. So God created a place big enough for everybody that chooses to be there. The difference is we have to choose to be there. And if we don't, it's nobody's fault but the person in the mirror. And that's why he's trying to work it out for us. Here's what I've got. Here's what you need to do. Are you ready for it? And what is our job? We're going to cry out in a loud voice. Salvation belongs to our God. It's given to us by him because we accepted it. He sits on a throne and to the Lamb. No separation between the Father and the Son. What a wonderful thought. We don't earn heaven by being born to a certain family, like the nobility of England or one of the states that have passed down kings. We don't get it that way. It's not given to us because of whom we are. It's given to us because of what we are, the sons and the daughters of Jehovah God, and brothers and sisters of Jesus. And that makes things a lot simpler. You don't have to go. I've heard some guys, marvelous guys with memories that I couldn't pretend to think of, even would want, who can quote the whole book of Matthew, or chapters among chapters, word by word, of the Gospels. I just soon read it. It's a lot easier. What's my name? All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders. Remember the 24 elders? It's probably 12 from the Old and 12 from the New Testament. And the four living creatures, those who stood as bodyguards on the four sides of God, just to represent him to us, not protect him because he doesn't need protection. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying this, amen and praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength to our God forever and ever. Amen. Admitting that God holds all of the strengths and the respectable things for us. And when we think that we don't deserve it, He says you do because you belong to my Son. When we think we can't get over the trials and tortures we're going through, He says, I will help you do it because you belong to my Son. When we think the future's not worth going forward to because life's too tough, He will say, it will work out because of my Son. Now, I will tell you simply this. I'm a news junkie. I love news. Go to bed with it on. Wake up in the morning with it on. Listen to it on my earphones during the day. I love to be informed of what's going on. If I was a news junkie and not a Christian, I would be the most oppressed person in the world. Because I'm telling you now, things aren't going too well in this world, are they? Somebody just walks in and kills 49 people, then himself. Children are taken, stolen. The family that left Sarasota to go down to Fort Myers Beach last Sunday, they found the body of the father and the daughter and not the boys yet because it got a little windy. We talked about the wind. There is a lot of bad news. But yet, we do not have to let it get us down. It gets us down because we allow it to get us down. Because we're looking just at the moment and not at the big picture. And it is so sad when we do that. Because when we do that, one thing's taller than me. When we do that, we say, God, nobody's in charge. And God said, you're wrong. I am in charge. All you've got to do is follow me. But we don't want to give up our, quote, personal freedoms, do we? We don't want to give up our, I'm in charge, nobody's better than me, do we? We want to stand strong and tall and be so much our own master. But it doesn't work that way. Because we can't make the rules because we didn't create the game. God did. After He created the heavens and the earth, He created us. So when we get ourselves down about the things, it's our fault. My mother always has a half-empty glass. She just doesn't want to go through the getting it over with. Surgery she had back in January, she about gave up and decided to let herself die. Quit eating. Quit drinking. Wouldn't take her medicine. Well, it's just going to make me sick. She's been on some blood pressure medicine for 35 years. Doctor said, you're going to change this week. She says, no, I've gotten used to this other. Matter of fact, I don't need half of it. So she didn't take half her pills for about 2 weeks. That's why she had her stroke. My mother, sweet and kind, I love her, would choose to see the hard side of everything. And that's not a good way to be. You will yourself to be miserable all the time. We only got her to go to Cardinal Hill Rehabilitation Center because we made her think it was her idea. So she's running saying, I chose to come here. My kids didn't want me to, but I knew this was good. I guess as long as she thinks that, she wants to do it so she cooperates. We don't need to be that way. We know our strength comes from God and from Jesus. One of the elders asked me, these in white robes, who are they and where they're from? See, this whole throng of people, can't be counted, were all wearing white robes. Who are they? Where do they come from? These are those who have come out of the great tribulation. The word tribulation means bad times. The crops all dry up. The animals all die. If you have lived or your parents lived through and you've talked to them or anybody else who has lived through that great dust bowl, they called it, where all the land dried up out in California and farther east, and it would blow dust thousands of miles. Ray's talked about it several times. He remembers. You just give up. But you can't do that. They've been through the tribulation. When everything you try to do is wrong, your hills are full of fire. Great houses and small alike are being burned down. West Virginia. I don't know if any of y'all have ever been to West Virginia. West Virginia, it would be called, it's called West because of the W. Mountain Valley. Mountain Valley. Mountain Valley. A cup of water would flood them out time it gets to the bottom. They were just destroyed this weekend. Most houses, you couldn't see anything but the rooftops. People swept away and drowned. I say at least two dozen. and on and on and on. It's a terrible time. Anybody remember army grasshoppers when you're growing up? We had one year it got so hot and dry, they were eating the plastic screens off of people's houses just to have something to eat. If you had any kind of crops, they would come in, or the locusts would come in and just destroy them. Terrible time, because they were going to get your food before you did. Times can be rough. And according to what I read in Revelation, to some people it's even going to be rougher than it ever has been. But we'll come through the tribulation. The Christians will not be destroyed because of the tribulation. We will be strengthened because we're not by ourselves. We're with God. We're surrounded by God's family. And we strengthen one another. We have a prayer time every Sunday and Wednesday at study. Why? Because we want to pray for and lift each other up. And share the burden and the hard times with one another. These are those who have come out of the great tribulation. They've washed their robes and made them white in what? The blood of the Lamb. Now, I'm not a chemist, although I did destroy a couple of chemistry sets growing up. I'm not a chemist. But picture this. The worst dark and dirty clothes. Matter of fact, I ruined a pair of britches on Thursday digging in a clay pit mud hole. Just ruined them. I mean, I think there's more dirt on the inside than on the outside. But you take the dirtiest, vile, sinful person you can meet who have committed so many dastardly things and have hated God and all this with the blood of the Lamb, they're washed white, clean, and pure. That's what white stands for. Ivory soap. Remember ivory soap? 99.44% pure. That's what God's trying to give us, except with Him it's 100% pure. And you notice ivory doesn't come in black like old tar soap. It's white. Makes you think, oh, my clothes, my body's going to be clean. Ivory snow with the clothes washing stuff. God will make us clean because we're washing the blood of the Lamb. Not by the physical touching of the blood. The blood was already shed almost 2,000 years ago. But the symbolism that our sins are washed away, that's what it's all about. There used to be a product my grandmother used called bluing. It was a wash day stuff. It was in a bottle. It was blue. But somehow it made the clothes whiter. And I can't figure brown dirt and blue juice makes white clothes, but it did. And they were famous. God will make our souls clean. That's what He's going to do for us. Therefore, they are before the throne, the angel says. Serve Him day and night in His temple. In other words, we're always to be praying and thinking, worshiping God. He who sits on the throne will let His tent over them, spread His tent over them. You ever been cold, maybe been camping, or if you lived up north, we all lived up north pretty much, and it's a cold night and the furnace goes out and you get all the kids together in the living room in front of the fire and you put a blanket over everybody, try to keep everybody warm, something like that. God puts His tent over us for protection. And we'll be kept from the wet and the sleet and the snow and the cold. We're protected. Never, oh, I like this one. Never again we'll be hungry. You ever been so hungry you just think you're going to die? I could eat a horse. I don't know what horse tastes like, but I doubt if I could eat a horse. A hog, I can handle that. I could eat. We're not going to be hungry again. We're going to be taken care of. Because God's going to be with us and we're with Him. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. I bet I'm not the only one in here that's ever had a sunburn. Matter of fact, usually about January or February, when you go in the fast food restaurants, it's usually girls, I'm sorry ladies, it's usually girls that are just glowing red. I'm thinking, oh, it's going to hurt tonight. We had a friend that did that. She ended up spending the night on the bathroom tile floor because it was the only cool place she could get. That sun won't bother us anymore. No sweat, no dehydration, no pain. Because those things are gone. The sun will not beat upon them. There ain't scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. Do we not call Jesus the Good Shepherd? Is He not at the throne beside His Father God? Truth of the matter is, We need leaders. If you're a sports enthusiast, it can be amazing how bad a team could do. You change a coach in the middle of the season, all of a sudden, they're on fire. They're doing extremely well because the shepherd that was with them before wasn't getting the job done. Well, Christ is our shepherd. He will lead us in the right place. He will show us how to get out of trouble. He will lead them to the springs of living water. Psalms 23 tells us about the living water. And the last one I have marked in every Bible I got. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. I use that at every funeral I preach for a Christian. Because we're told that happens to the Christians. And no matter how sad we are, the loss of a loved one, a friend, God will wipe away at the end the tear from our eyes. No more sadness, no more emptiness, no more sorrow. Why? Because we're in the blessed place we could be with the best people we could be with the God that loved us so much that He gave His only one and only begotten Son. And because of that, we are His. Now that wasn't scary, was it? And you all thought Revelation was scary. It's comforting when we know we're on the good side. When we know we're on the blessed side. We know that Jesus died for us. Because of that, we can go through anything that we have to go through because we'll never walk alone. It's a book of comfort. It's a book of promise. It's a book of concern and love. It's about we and our friend Jesus the Christ. You're outside of that love of Jesus. If you've not claimed Him as your Savior, you're without a church home. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation right now. I ask you to come forward and give your life to Jesus because He's already given His life for you. Stand with me as we sing hymn number 489. Hymn 489, please.